11 o'clock all the way in Alexandria. Let's please put our hands together for the Reverend Charlie Wood. Leave your donut in your seat, sir. No.
I've learned with this crowd, I keep my donut with me when I leave. What a thrill it is to be here on Easter morning, amen? We've got some friends over here. Jim's got a whole family over there. The young man back there, man, you're looking serious this morning. You are looking serious this morning. He's attending down in Liberty, isn't it? Down in Liberty, yeah, he's doing all that, all kind of good things back here. Good to have Hunter with us this morning, all the family like that. I told him, you ready to testify this morning? He said, nope. He said, give me a few weeks to work on it. You can tell him when you're in school like that, you've got to work on it. You got to get all prepared. You got to get ready before you're going to get up there. And when you get to my age, just wing it. Just wing it, because you're happy that you're there. You're happy that she invited you. You know, come on. Some of you folks looking at me. We got some folks here that could definitely go out and hide their own Easter eggs, you know what I mean? So we better be happy we're here. We better be happy we're here this morning, amen? I tell you, just Easter to me is such a wonderful service to do. The scripture that I'm going to read from, in just a couple of verses, because it's the exact same scripture that Brother Kevin, he read this morning from that 24th chapter. What a thrill it is to be in God's house with God's people on a celebration morning of a risen Lord. Amen. That is the sermon, my friends. This week, we had a very busy week. One of our dear saints went on to be with the Lord on Monday, and so we had things planned. We were working. It's a busy week, as you all know, during Holy Week, and so we had a little added responsibilities, and God took care of everything.
Amen.
And we had the viewings, and on Friday afternoon we had the funeral. And it was just so amazing to see how so many people, so many of God's people just stood up, took responsibility, and did what needed to be done. And the theme that we used, because this dear sister had been struggling with cancer for 10 years. And you know how it is when these old bodies just completely wear out. You know how it is, and I know that you've had friends, you've had relatives and all like that, that you've had to go and visit when you just, it kind of just tears your heart out, really what it does. So to be able to serve and preach at a funeral for a dear saint who's gone on to be with the Lord, it was a celebration. It was a celebration of life. It was an example of what we believe in.
Amen.
And what we believe in is a risen Lord.
Amen.
And our faith in that risen Lord, that's what punches your ticket, as they say, to heaven. Not how good you've been, not how well you dressed up on Easter morning, brother. That's a rather fine looking amazing. I was going to talk good about him this morning, you know. Y'all haven't seen him all winter, you know, and he's been slimming down.
Yes, he has.
Trying to tell me some story he's eating chocolate. I don't believe it. I don't believe this story I hear. I'm on a chocolate. Don't tell me. Don't tell me those things. First thing, walk in, Brother Kevin, he's looking all slim down. Becky said, good morning. I said, excuse me, good morning. I said, oh, glad I'm preaching today and not you. She's been through so much. She's had difficulties and all like that. Kevin, he's just doing good, that slimming. I've been trying to do the same thing, but for me, it hadn't quite worked out. I've been going to the gym now for over a year, and I've only gained a couple pounds. But I have found the treat. I have a brand new suit on, folks. And I bought this suit. The pants are about 2 inches too big. So every now and then you'll see me go like this. And you'll think, maybe he's losing weight. That's what you'll think. You'll think something like that. Well, really, just get that larger suit over there like that. It'll make you. So I don't know how you do it, but I'm just trying to fill you in on how I do it. Because I love to come back together with God's folks here at the campgrounds. You folks have been so kind and nice to us the last couple of years, and we look forward to a great year. Terry will be with us here, God willing, next month over here. So you make sure that you invite friends, you invite family. Go around, you know. Invite that one that you don't like that's next to you at the campgrounds. Get them on in here. Yeah, maybe you or them will change. One of y'all will change if you come on in. So we're looking forward to great things for God in this upcoming year. As Kevin read, and it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Angels. You believe in angels? Come on, wave at me, you believe in angels. A lot of you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for angels. And they were afraid, and they bowed down their faces to the earth. But then these angels made one of the greatest statements ever been written in my Bible. One of those statements that when you hear it, it just kind of gets a hold of you, gets you excited. Because the statement that they made was, why seek ye the living among the dead? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, but my Lord, he is risen. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. We live in a world where a lot of people are looking, searching. Trying to figure out what that is, what that thing is. Why am I not as happy as I'd like to be? Why are things not going right in my life? Why do I simply just not have a grasp on things as I would like to have? Because you're not looking in the right place. Plain and simple. Some of you are here on this morning because, well, you just, somebody drug you here. Amen, that's fine. Somebody came down here, a lot of you, we got some folks up here from Mount Calvary, they just came down this morning and go, we'll see how they do without Terry. And then we'll go back and we'll tell Terry. Well, if you tell Terry that we didn't do that good, you're not going to find any Easter eggs today, so I'm going to let you know. But if you didn't like us, don't tell him. Maybe you came this morning because, oh, well, the family's going to better go. Yeah, she said, if I get up, it's Easter morning, I better go, you know, just kind of keep peace and family. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You are here because my Heavenly Father, he ordained it for you to be here and hearing my voice today. I believe that. And what a glorious thing it is to be in God's house, to be with God's people. At this funeral service, Over and over again, in my mind and in my heart, I went back to a conversation that I'd had with a dear saint. And when her body had just hardly anything there, just so weak, and her poor little arms, and you know, you've been just so tiny and all like that, you figure you could just actually just reach over and just. She said, "Brother, I don't have anything left. But my friends, my family, and my faith." And I said, there's your sermon. My friends, my family, and my faith. Now, for those of you kind of come here and you visit, you're not around a little bit, you just close your ears a little bit because I'm gonna talk to all these church folks for a little bit. You know the church folks. Oh, praise God, glad to be here. Amen. Easter morning. I'm going to talk to you church folks. I actually have notes. Don't laugh over it, Kevin. I told myself, I'm going to keep on. Sooner or later, I'm going to learn how to preach off notes. I can't find my notes, but I've got them. My. This preaching off notes stuff is tougher than what I thought. In 1992... There was a commencement speak that took place at the Talladega College in Alabama. And they invited a gentleman by the name of Bill Cosby. And he showed up and did that commencement speech. And as you can imagine, that speech that said was just filled with humor. And I don't know if you're a fan of Bill Cosby, but I've always been. But he said some things that you would not expect. He's always been a great supporter of education. And the most pointed item that he spoke to them that day were three words: get a job. He says, tomorrow is Monday, and old people expect you to be out there looking for a job, and they expect you to come back home Monday evening with a job. Your family has done enough. Get a job. I think that that applies to the church. Church folks, you've been going to church a long time. Long time. Long time. Amen. I didn't hear an amen one. Man, you don't have him on that short leash, do you? Woo. Man, I had him. Last year, Kevin's going, I had him up here dancing in the aisles. Now you got him on a short leash over here. Man, we're going to have to work on it. We're going to have to preach hard this year. We're going to sing hard this year. You've been around churches for a long time.
Amen, I have.
It's time for our church folks to get a job. Because we have a great job that stands in front of us. We have people that are hurting. We have a people that just simply don't have an answer. And it is our job to allow the light that God has placed within us to shine through us. Lifting up. All shall be lifted up to the name of Jesus through our love one for another. Church, we don't have time for small stuff. Criticism. Oh, I'm just so tired. I got another note. So happy. There was a practicing lawyer. And he used to love to attack his opponents through scathing letters. And in 1842, before your time, he ridiculed the wrong man. The man he ridiculed, his name was James Shields, and he did not take kindly to the anonymous writer who ridiculed him in the Springfield Journal. So what he did, he went and he tracked down this attorney who'd made a public embarrassment out of him. And he challenged him to a duel. Now this attorney who'd written this scathing letter, he says, you know, I'm a writer, I'm not a fighter. So he decided to, there was no way that he could get out of this duel without losing his honor, so he was given a choice, and he chose swords and hoped to use his long arms as an advantage. He trained with a West Point graduate. He's prepared to fight to the death. And on the day that he met Mr. Shields on a sandbar in the Mississippi River, just before the duel, their seconds. Some of you look back in history and know what their seconds were. And they stepped forward and they encouraged these two men to come to their senses and not fight till one of them would die. And he says that that day changed his life. Never again would he openly criticize others. Later, years on, when he heard his wife criticize the Southern people during the Civil War, he stopped her and he says, "Now don't criticize them. They are just what we would be under similar circumstances." President Lincoln made a change in his life. And he realized that criticism of others is not the answer. Church, we have no time. We have no time for criticism. We are to be uplifting. I am to bear my brother's and my sister's burden along with them. Once they tell me what is going on and share with me that struggle they're having in their life, I have that obligation. I have that job to pray, to lift them up, to believe with them. Oh, it's going to be better. We're going to make it through it. God has seen us through time and time again, and he will see us through this time once more. We have no room for criticism, no room for doubt. And I believe we have to do it in a humble spirit. I am so excited the way churches and people are, and God's people are just kind of, I think we're finally starting to get it. You know, for so long, just competition and criticism, oh, I think we're starting to get it. The great coach, Vince Lombardi, he wrote one time about a most humbling experience. Sitting in a restaurant, beginning to eat his meal, and young man approached him and very, very quickly took his pen out and he just signed his name on a napkin and kind of grumbled under his breath about, "Boy, can't even get any peace of eating this meal here without people trying to get his autograph." And as he started to hand the napkin to the young man looked at him quite puzzled. He said, "Sir, can I borrow your ketchup?" True story. We have to be humble. We have to be humble in the way that we present the gospel. If you have somebody and they're hurting, last thing they want to do is hear a lot of finger pointing. They want to feel open arms. They want to feel love. You got families in distress. And as much as you would like to, God tells you to have warmth and compassion in your heart. Because that's what my Heavenly Father had for me. Amen. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that what?
He gave us his son.
Why? Because he loved us. He loved us. On Friday when the funeral was done, we went downstairs and we were having refreshments. We were having lunch, and the family being so moved and people talking about how, you know, it was okay. Family had wonderful things to say, and you could kind of hear in their voices about how they actually believed that this chapter in their lives, the ordeal that they'd been through, 10 years dealing with cancer, in the last few years, just so devastating. And I believe the words of encouragement that we found through God's Word and the uplifting in our spirit that came about when we felt that the songs that we sing, we believe them. I don't know what Easter means to you, but I believe you're here because you've been to church before. You've heard sermons before. You've heard this wonderful message that a heavenly Father would love us so much that he would send his Son in flesh to die upon a cross simply because of our faith in that fact. That fact. We should then be allowed to have eternal life. No more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. I told him in the funeral on Friday, I said, Easter's going to be a beautiful day. The weather is forecast. Oh, what a beautiful day we have down here at the campgrounds. You're going to be dressed up, most of you, oh, so nice. Let me reset my little flower here as I say that. Love these two. Don't you just love them?
Yes.
Really, you do. I mean, they are God's people. And you love God's people. And I'm glad because, trust me, you ain't going to see this tie very soon. They ain't off down here. So if you want to, you take a picture before I leave today. I'm going to come in one day in that nice little relaxed. And I'm going to wear my shorts down here, you know, down here in summertime. Excuse me, I'll be right back. You get it? Good. Okay. Good. That's the way you ought to be in church. Exactly like you are now. Because the things that I tell you, they're truth. There are things of the heart, but you have to make the decision. They're not some, hocus pocus. No, no, no. These folks are going to get up and leave in just a moment. They're all under conviction. So go pray to another church. Go, 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 ladies. Go, go, ladies. There you go. Not everyone. Not everyone. Huh. Just it's the way life goes. Have you ever heard the phrase more for us? You've never heard that phrase, brother. I'm getting rebuked by congregation on Easter morning, brother. This is exactly the way you should be in church. Because you ought to be relaxed enough to make a decision. You ought to be relaxed enough to say, you know what? I'm just going to believe more. I'm going to take by faith of what God's word says about me. We make so many decisions in life. But the most important decision we make in all of life, we kind of skirt around it. We kind of, that's a church thing. I don't know if I'm going to talk about it. I can't think about that. I can't ask anybody about this again. It ought to be the simplest thing that you ever do. Something I've said or something we sung about or something that's going on in your life should just allow your heart to be tugged out a little bit. And you should have. You should have something inside of you saying, you know what? I want more of him. I want more God in my life. I want more of the good things. It costs you absolutely nothing. Need a bottle of water here, brother? Is he okay? All right. Grab one back there. It costs you absolutely nothing to be a Christian. All you got to do is say, Heavenly Father, come into my heart. It will then cost you everything. It will then cost you everything. Because I believe that once we have him living inside of us, we have it all. And he expects it all for him. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. It's 10 o'clock. I'm going to pray for just a moment, and it's going to be very simple. Heavenly Father, we've come into your house. We've sung praises. We have read your word,
and you have excited us so much, for we know that he is risen today. But God, I also know that with this many folks, God, that there are issues, there are troubles, there are questions. God, we simply want to be able to freely ask you to lead us, guide us, direct us. God, we want to be free within our hearts, within our minds. You say, Heavenly Father, I just don't quite understand it all. Preacher, I don't know. I know some of the things you said made sense, but some didn't make any sense at all. So we want to be able to come to you, God, and say, Heavenly Father, I simply need to know more about you. And as we're still in a prayerful mood and heads are bowed, eyes are closed like that, this morning, if you'd like me to pray for you, I simply want you to real quickly just lift up your hand over there. I don't care if you got amen. You can just lift it up and back down again. Whether you have questions about where you stand at with God, whether you have questions about what is going to go on in your future, about what God has in store for you. Yes, thank you. We'll pray. Heavenly Father, so many things, God, that we just want to be thankful for you on this Easter morning. So many things that we can just, so glad that you loved us so much. And then, God, so many questions, so many doubts, so many concerns. So, Heavenly Father, you just look within our hearts. You just look and you just cleanse us ever so white, God. Cleansing us of snow which falls, God, we thank you for it. And God, let us know that we've grown a bit closer to you for allowing us to be here in your house. In just a few moments, God, as we partake of this communion, this small wafer which represents a body that was broken, this small cup of juice that represents blood that was shed upon a cross, Heavenly Father, we just simply want to do this in remembrance of you for what you did for us over 2,000 years ago. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen.